So happy New Year to you all. I was, we were driving to Tahoe somewhere, listening on the radio to NPR, and all of a sudden on NPR, there was this show called Believers and Doubters. You can go on there, called TED Talk Hour. And they had Billy Graham, just a treat. Billy Graham's 95, he's not preaching anymore, but here was Billy Graham in a TED Talk from many years ago. And then they had a Muslim, and then they had a Hindu, they had an atheist at the very end. But number four was a lady named Julia Sweeney. She's an actress, and she has a talk that she calls Letting Go of God. And she told this story. She says, when I was 7 years old, on my birthday, September 10, I came downstairs and said, I am 7 years old today. She said, my father, we were all Catholics, said, you know what that means, don't you? You have now reached the age of reason. Age of reason is when you were finally old enough to know the difference between right and wrong. What you did before seven, God didn't keep track of it. It doesn't matter. But from now on, God's writing it down. She says, I wasn't very happy about that. You mean all those years that I tried so hard to be good, God didn't keep track of it? It didn't matter at all? I could have done anything? What good was that? And then she skipped down 6 years to 13. And on her birthday, her mother said, I need to tell you something, honey. September 10 is really not your birthday. It's really October 10. What? She says, when you were going into school, they wouldn't let you into school because you were like a month too young. So I just told them your birthday was September 10. What? She says, I made sure on October 10, at least I gave you a piece of cake. So you always had a little birthday cake, even though you didn't know. She said, then I was really mad. For a whole month, I thought I was at the age of reason and God was keeping track of everything. I had one more month. I could have done anything I wanted, and they took it away from me. I had another month before God began to keep tabs on me. Where do we get this picture of God? Then you jump 25 years. She says, I was in L.A. She said a couple little Seventh-day Adventists came by. That's in her talk. Came by my house. And then two Mormon missionaries came in their white shirts. And they said, we have a message from God for you. From God for me? Come on in. And they said, they asked me, do you know that God loves you with all his heart? He said, well, I had a little trouble with a few words, but basically said, yeah, I do know that. And they were happy. It's the right answer. She did not become a Mormon. She proceeds to make a lot of fun of the whole Mormon story. But it did get her to begin to study religion and her beliefs and read the Bible for the first time. And she said at the end of 2 years, she was walking in the yard and just realized she didn't believe anymore. It was all gone, and she had gone from Christian to atheist. And now she has a movie, and she speaks all over the country on letting go of God. I was just sick. Here is a lady who absolutely said she believed that God loved her with all his heart, and now she's gone. How many people do we baptize here and around the world, and they're excited, and they believe in God, and they read the Bible, and they are full of it, and then comes a point where you don't see them? It doesn't matter enough. And here this lady has a TED Talk that 3.6 million people have watched, Letting Go of God. Now she's on NPR at Christmas week all over the world. It's just one of the five options. You choose which option you want, equal with Billy Graham and faith in Christianity. What do we do with this? I have wanted to do a series on promises for a long time. So many promises. We have it in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. There's 2,000 promises, and I have chosen this one. Can you find the text? I may be off a couple slides there. Ephesians 3:20. This may be the best, though there's a lot of great promises as we start this series. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Can you say amen? We sing the song, he's able. That's enough. He's able. But it says, he's able to do what? All. All is a big word. But that is not enough. He says, I'm able. He is able to do above all that you can ask or think. And then it says, he can do abundantly above all that you can ask or think. And then exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think. Fantastic verse in the Bible. Promise. This is not magic. This is not, I can go back to the ski picture. This does not mean that I get to have a ski run in the back of my house. We drove to Lake Tahoe Christmas afternoon. We thought it would take 9 hours. We got out and got into Las Vegas traffic. There was 2 more hours. And then finally, we were texting our son. They were ahead of us. We got into the Mammoth area. It was -2, snow and ice everywhere on the road. And big signs, change required. So we were good soldiers. We got off to the side in the middle of the night at 2 degrees below zero. I'm still in my suit clothes from Christmas. And we're trying to put tire chains on our cars. And evidently, when I got the new car, even though they're both Camrys, somehow something was wrong, and the chains were 8 inches apart from closing up. So we had to just give up and just drive slowly and hope to make it. We got there at 1 something in the morning. So now I would like a ski run in the back of my house. Isn't that what the Bible said? Above all that you can ask or think. I can think of that. So God should be able to do that. And a new ski boat in the front of my house. And I would like to be 35 again. Would that be good? You too, Bob? 35. If I can think it, that's what the promise says. And they had this car in the LA Times today. This is being made in Orange County, called a Faraday car. This car was $100-some thousand, all electric, all green, and it would go from 0 to 60 in 2.9 seconds. And the seats massage you while you were driving. And you can make it drive automatic by itself for a while, and you can just read the newspaper while it's going. I can think of that. They can think of that. I want one of these cars, God. Abundantly above all that you can ask or think. No, this is not magic. This is not magic in this particular passage. It says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, to pray that he may strengthen you with power in your inner being. This is not ski runs and cars and turning 35. This is God doing magic inside you and pouring love inside you. Still amen? Paul is saying this is the love that you are really looking for. We were going through the garage, trying to clean up the garage during the break, and we came across our old annuals, and here's my annuals from high school in Singapore, my whole life, flipping through the pages, 40, 50 years ago. And here's the girl that at 14 years old, we were down by the gate late at night on a Saturday night. And I did what all the other guys did. You ask her to go steady, and then you give her your watch, and she wore my watch for several months. Stupid. Who let me do that at 14 years old? I was looking for love. We're all looking for love. That's what we do. We're looking for love. And went online to look at some of the country music titles. Have you ever read these? There's many lists of them. At all. If love were oil, I would be a quart low. At all. And many more that I cannot read today in church. All these people are singers. How did these people sell so many songs? That all the musicians of the world, Katy Perry, these are 80, 90 million followers on their Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. Beyonce and all these others, fantastic people. Mariah Carey, 200 million records have been sold in her life. Every single one of those songs is about somebody looking for love. And Paul says, you're not going to get it there. Not going to get it like that. I don't know if I've told this before or not. I was in a group that played the Bugler's Holiday one time in Southern Oregon. So three pastors got together. I think I was the low part. I don't remember all the details of it now. We got together, and we had to play this on the Medford High School Auditorium Academy in front of maybe 500 people. And we got up in front, and we just destroyed that song. Terrible. I had the easiest part, but the guy on top, he just quit playing. So here we were, and one guy's not even playing in our trio. It was terrible, 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 terrible. When we were finally all done, not one person clapped. 500 people, we just sat there silent. There was nothing to clap for. We had to get off the car. Usually I stay and shake hands. I didn't stay and shake hands. I got in the car and drove away. I was sick. I had church members all along the highway back to Grants Pass where I live. I went up every road and I knocked on every church member. Not one was there. I was trying to find somebody who would love me and say I was still okay after this terrible day and experience I had gone through. And I had to go home with nothing, looking for love. That's what we all do. Pastors, we work and sweat and pour our heart and soul into a sermon. And then we walk down the aisle and we stand at the door and we wait to hear. And I said last week, I'm going to get 100 hugs. Looking for love. I got the 99. One lady emailed me afterwards and said, Pastor Dan, I was going to give you the 100th hug, but you were busy, so I went home. Maybe I'll get it today. We're looking for love. Actors begin to act because they want approval and love. Comedians don't want to quit. Jay Leno was still running around the country telling jokes because you get a high out of people laughing and you get love. Athletes go into a stadium and the stadium is cheering for you and you become intoxicated and addicted to this love. You're looking for love. And girls stand in front of a mirror for an hour putting themselves together looking for love. And Paul says, you will never find it fully until Jesus comes and puts poor love into your inner being. That is the love that you are really looking for. I hope you'll not misunderstand this illustration. It's crazy. But I read an article on the internet about an old movie, 30-some years now, called Top Gun. The point isn't the movie. But in the movie, Tom Cruise is a hotshot young fighter pilot flying down here in Top Gun, and he falls in love with a PhD instructor, Kelly McGillis. Gorgeous girl. Fantastic. And they are just crazy in love, and motorcycle and dinners and all kinds of stuff. In love. 30 years later, you read this article. She is gay. She is gay. All that love on that movie was not real. That is only acting. She has no interest in any man at all. That is not who she is. It's not real. And Paul is trying to say, no matter how good your love may be in our world that you're looking for, whether you're married or dating or sports or whatever your love is, there is no love in comparison to this love that is exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think. It is not ski runs and magic. It is the love of God that goes beyond any other love in our world today. That's what you're looking for, and that's what he promises in this great promise. Amen? That's what it is. And Paul is saying that whatever love you can ask or imagine, this love from Jesus is better than that. My Father, when I needed my Father, he came. We were at Lake Tahoe, brought this back to me. My brother borrowed a ski boat when we had a family vacation there, and we had the conference mission ski boat. And we had no life jackets. And my father got up at 6 in the morning and drove 2 hours back to Leone Meadows and got the ski jackets and came back 2 hours, 4 hour drive to give us a few ski jackets. It's love. When it looked like I was going to be single and go through a very hard time, I called my dad, and my dad dropped everything from wherever he was. He put a note on his sleeping bag at the camp. He said, "I'll be back later." And he drove all night. And I got up in the morning, and there was my dad. But Paul says, this love is better than that. It is better than your first love. It is better than the first time you held hands with a girl. It is better than the first kiss. It's better than honeymoons. It is better than every love story you've ever seen on the movies. Better than Titanic. Better than all of it. Better than Love Boat. Better than soap operas. Better than Julia Roberts. Even that. I bumped into somebody in Hawaii who was giving her kidney to someone over here in the mainland at another Adventist church who she did not know. Love. Better than that. Better than the blackhead in Chicago who in Vietnam jumped on a hand grenade to save all the rest of his friends. And Paul says it's better than that. This is better than Desmond Dodd. This is better than Mother Teresa. This is better than the greatest experiences of love that are possible in this world. Paul says it is exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think. This love that comes from Jesus. It's an amazing statement. For 30 years now, I've probably been wrestling with this question. Are we getting all that we can get from God right now? I can show you the sermons as I've progressed on this question. Is there something more that it is possible to get in our world today? We know there's going to be a kingdom someday, but what can we have right now from God? We know we're not in heaven yet. No matter how hard you pray, no matter how many promises you ABC claim, we are not going to turn this earth into heaven now. The Bible says we see through a glass darkly. Yes, there is some kingdom now, but there's an awful lot of what we call not yet. We don't get to see him. We don't get to hear his voice. We haven't found the Noah's Ark. We haven't found the Ark of the Covenant. There's just some things we don't get to have. They don't like it if any of us were to speak in tongues. And not too many people have got out of the wheelchair and stood up and walked. And so far, most of the people who die stay dead. So what does it mean? Is this really possible where Paul says, I pray. I get down on my knees and I pray that you will experience this love. Is it possible? Ephesians 3:18, and may you have the power of how deep his love is. How high, how wide, how deep, and how wide is this love? Is that for everybody? And look what it says. As all God's people should. In the NIV it says, together with all the saints. This is not just for monks out in the desert somewhere. This is not just for the Mother Teresa's of the world. This is not just for HMS Richards and Mark Finley and Maury Vinden and the giants of the faith. It says it is possible for everyone to experience this love from God that is exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think. Amen? Are you experiencing that? Are you just filled with the love of God every day? That's what Paul says you can have in this promise. It's an amazing promise. How? How? Well, obviously, number one is through prayer. Paul says, I pray. I fall on my knees and I pray that you all would have this kind of experience. So evidently it is possible that if you will pray for this and visualize experiencing the love of God, he will give you a degree of love that is more and better and richer than every other love experience in the world we have today. That's what it says. Greater than all you can ask or think. It's an amazing promise. Number two, it is through Jesus. It's very clear. Do you have the text there? There it is. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, so that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Evidently, there is something about Jesus that if you will have Jesus inside, he will begin to fill your heart with this kind of love that is beyond what you can ask or think. I just finished with three little vignettes in my own experience along the way. Major steps in my life. I started out as a young pastor with the usual easy answers. Whenever something bad happened, everybody else tried to find some reason for why this should happen, what they call the silver lining, to justify God and why this had to happen. And I did it too. Until all of a sudden, at 30, 31, I just couldn't do it anymore. And I pounded it out in my own heart and soul, because the Bible says that when Jesus died on the cross, he wants you to accept that as the final answer on whether he is good or bad. And he should not have to dance for you again and do another miracle or answer the prayer for you every single time. He wants you to look at the cross like we're doing today and say, that settles it. God is good and God is love, period. I'll never forget, I flew back up to Oregon. They called me back to do a funeral. We had prayed for this man many, many times. Huge tumor, died. He cut off his arm and he still died. And I walked in front of my former church members, I just said, I have put this stake in the ground. I am never going to doubt the goodness and the love of God again. It is settled because of the cross. He doesn't have to answer another prayer, do another miracle for me. I settle this. Jesus is good and he is love, period. Settled it. It's not up for grabs anymore. I'm thankful for miracles, but I don't need them in order to believe in the love of God. Number two, I came down here as pastor at Newbury Park. I had found the gospel at some point in there. I was the evangelical Protestant gospel reformation preacher. This is the year, 500th anniversary. We're going to do a series on that. And I had the traditional answers, is that God has his wrath against sin, but Jesus in our place took God's wrath upon himself. And now you and I don't have to go through the wrath of God because Jesus has already taken care of it for you and me. And I was a good, hot young preacher in my little churches in Oregon as I preached the gospel. And then all of a sudden, it just went away. I couldn't say it anymore. That cannot be the whole picture. Is that the whole point of the cross is that Jesus is taking the wrath of his own Father upon himself. They are together. Whatever is one is also the other. They are the same. I couldn't do it. But I had nothing else to take its place. I don't know where to go. Young pastor dating Hilda out in the middle of nowhere. I knew I didn't want to give up Jesus or the cross or substitution, but neither did I want to have some idea about God that he's pouring out wrath on people. I was stuck here in the middle with nothing else to do. And we took a date and we went to Crystal Cathedral for the glory of Easter. And I sat there at 32, whatever I was, in complete angst in my spiritual theology with God. And they got to the story where it got to the point of the cross. And they laid him down on that cross. And they lifted this hammer and they had a huge spike. And they came down with that hammer. At that moment, all the lights went out. And then you hear the clank of that hammer hit the nail into his feet. And I was done. I was just done. I said, I am never going to doubt this again. If God, I believe Jesus is God, and he comes down here, and he's going to die on a cross like that and go through that, I cannot understand everything. I can't answer every theological question, but I am going to settle this. God is good, and God is love, and I will never give that up for the rest of my life. Settled. Settled. And that's what Paul says. If you'll just get Jesus, he will settle this love thing in your life beyond what you can ask or think. Third one I've talked about before. They invited us to come down and watch the the Passion movie here with Mel Gibson when they got to the whipping. I'm there with 3,000 other pastors in Saddleback Church. I had no idea. Whipping 39 times. Unbearable. And it just hit me. If Jesus is taking the wrath of the Father upon himself, then God the Father is using this Roman soldier to put this wrath onto Jesus. Something is wrong with that. That cannot be okay. The mother comes out here and wipes all the blood in the movie. And so the mother is wiping up the blood of the father, is making it happen. I said, that cannot be, where the mother is more loving and kind than the father. No one is more loving and kind than the father. I said, I'm settled this. God is good and God is love. That's all there is. That's who he is. Done. Done. Settled. And Paul says, I pray that you will know Jesus. And if you will let Jesus fill full of godness in your soul, in your inner being, he will fill you up with a love that is exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think. That's what he says. If you don't have it yet, then spend more time with Jesus. The third answer this text gives you, which is crazy, is you will experience the love of God through the church. Did you know I was going to say that? These people right here, the church. That's what it says. He says, I pray that you will learn the love of God together with all the saints. Every commentary talks about this. Is that it is through the church, with all the craziness of the church and all the weird people in the church, you and me. Evidently, God expects us to experience the love of God that you can't experience out there in the world through the church, through my 100 hugs. And God wants you and I to fill this church up with so many love moments that anybody can come here and they will experience this fullness of God's love beyond what you can ask or think through the church. That's what is promised. Are you looking for love? As you start the new year, Paul would say, as you take communion today, as you take Jesus into your inner being, focus on Jesus and his love. And let his love fill you out exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think. Amen? Our praise team, come. Would you stand and sing, Worthy is the Lamb? And let this promise, a promise is a promise, let this promise that God will fill you abundantly above all that you can ask or think with the love of God.